WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Welcome to the Don't Back Down show. We're right before Christmas, so we want to play a little bit of Christmas music before we start the show. So, TJ, take it away with our Christmas song of the day.
Well, you've all heard the story about Rudolph and his nose, but I'll tell you a Christmas tale that never has been told. Well, you may think you've heard it all, but you ain't heard nothing yet about that crazy Christmas that the North Pole can't forget. Rudolph was under the weather. He had to call in sick. So he got on the horn to his cousin Leroy, who lived out in the sticks. He said, Santa's really counting on me, and I hate to pass the buck. Leroy said, hey, I'm on my way, and he jumped in his pickup truck. When Leroy got to the North Pole, all the reindeer snickered and laughed. They'd never seen a deer in overalls and a
By the way, he didn't take a COVID-19 vaccine.
I know, Stan. We were both offended to hear that so-called public disservice announcement right before our show went on. Oh, my God.
Listen to the music, Leroy.
And it was Leroy, the redneck reindeer, hooked to the front of the sleigh, delivering toys to all the good old boys and girls along the way. It's just a down home party animal, two stepping across the sky. He makes jingle bells with a rebel yell and made history that night.
Welcome to the Don't Back Down show. Today we've got a great show today. And of course, we're going to get right into our little rant. Andy's got his. I got my little Christmas message.
But Stan,
Before you make
the announcement, I got to warn you. I just got a call from the White House, and Joe Biden was supposed to be on today. He was going to take the hard questions from us, but they apparently cannot wake him up from his nap, so it's not happening.
Oh, well, those things happen. Well, we'll just move on to our next guest. But anyhow, that person you just heard from, he wants to ask what's the difference. I wants to ask him what's the difference between a Democrat, progressive, socialist, liberal, and the rear end of a horse. And he said he didn't know either. My co-host, Andy Teitelman. And joining us soon will be our wonderful, wonderful executive producer, Liz Deal, who told me that you can tell if you're a Democrat, number one, if you think poverty can be abolished, if you admire the Swedish welfare system, and after looking at your pay stub, you still think America's under tax, and you definitely know you're a Democrat if you still think Biden is the smartest person in the room. And, of course, the ultimate is if you believe the BLM protests were peaceful demonstrations, you must be a Democrat. And, of course,
you're lucky she's not here. I think she'd be jumping across the table.
I know. And our production engineer and sound mixer once found a magic lamp on the beach when he was walking around. He rubbed it, and a genie appeared and says, I will grant you a wish. And TJ said, I wish I were smarter. And he's a pretty smart guy as it is right now. But he said, I wish I were smarter. So the genie turned him into a common sense conservative and our fabulous engineer. And that's great, TJ. And, of course, we're also joined by...
I think he just hit the off switch, Dan. We're off the air. Yeah, it's over.
And we're also joined by our wonderful tech guy, the man with two first names, William Michaels, better known as, what is it, Billy Mike?
Billy Mike. That's Billy what the guys in the control room have named him.
Billy Mike is here smiling. He had his birthday last week. He turned 27. And he's still available for any women out there who would like a date. He's still available. But I do want to start out with, first and foremost, I'd like to extend my warmest wishes to everyone during the joyful holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas to all. It's the time of year when we all come together to celebrate, reflect, and appreciate the blessings in our lives. In this season of togetherness, I can't help but notice that our connections with one another have faced some challenges this past year, especially among younger generation. Empathy seems to be dwindling. Respect for each other is disappearing. And, of course, a perfect example is the Colorado Supreme Court of these people that are forgetting about these connections. These virtues of empathy and respect are things we need to cherish and cultivate. I believe the lack of empathy is tied to the broader trend, the shift away from a belief in something greater than ourselves, often referred to as God, in favor of replacing trust solely in the state. Again, the perfect example is the Colorado judges who believe they are greater than the people and they think they are gods. We see evidence of this in today's politics, with the sense of honor, integrity, and seemingly lost among the many of our leaders. Leaders and judges who take an oath to uphold our Constitution but often seem detached from its true meaning. We need to pray that the Colorado Democratic Supreme Party Supreme Court become believers in the rights of Americans and choose their leaders and to let them choose the leaders and not them. That was not the judiciary's purpose. Our Constitution does not come with guns and cannons to defend itself. It relies on the honor, integrity, and honest of those who swear to protect and defend it. It is necessarily a belief in something greater than the state, a belief in morality and in God. And if we followed the principles of the Ten Commandments, just think about this. If we followed the principles in the Ten Commandments, we would undoubtedly find ourselves in a much better world. As we bid farewell to Hanukkah and welcome the spirit of Christmas, let us remember the true essence of this holiday. It was honoring the birth of a person who left us with countless valuable lessons. One of the most important teachings is the golden rule that was spoken by Jesus, and it said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Let's carry this message of empathy, kindness, understanding into the coming year. If we value freedom of thought, expression, and the well-being of our fellow human beings, 2024 can indeed be a remarkable year. So from the depths of my heart, I wish all of you out there, everybody here at WWDB, a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And as we approach 2024, let's begin by practicing the art of goodwill and compassion in our interactions with others.
Well, Stan, the compassionate conservative crew, the people that we're aligned with, they already do that every day. We're polite to each other. We're even polite to our adversaries. We're polite to the leftists. We're polite to the liberals. We're polite to the Democrats. The only people I have a hard time being polite to are our political leaders. And while I do share your sentiments, and this being the last show of 2023 for us, I do join in your good wishes to all of our listeners and the WWDB staff. I have a hard time going into 2024 with anything remotely resembling a positive feeling for the status of our country. We live in a country now where they have to tell you it's a Trump-appointed judge. For some reason, that makes a difference. It really shouldn't. But they cleared the way for the Biden regime to remove the iconic Confederate Reconciliation Memorial at Arlington Cemetery, while at the same time in the state of Iowa, they're putting up Baphomet statues in their capital, worshiping Satan. I don't understand how that can happen in the United States of America, except for one reason. There is free speech. So you want to worship Satan? Go ahead. Free speech, free religion. You want to do that? Go ahead. But how do you take down an iconic statue that goes back to the reconciliation of the Confederate War? This is insane. And the fact that this can even be happening, just like boxing up the statue of Columbus in Philadelphia. Why? Why do these things happen? I mean, why are we allowing the government to do these things? So as we end 2023 and we go into 2024, I beseech everybody in this audience to stand up and try and make a difference. It can be small things. You can write to your congresspeople. You can write to your senators. you can go to meetings. You can go to council meetings. You can go to your commissioner meetings. You can go to your board of election meetings. And you definitely better go to your school board meetings, because we have people swearing in on pornographic literature, taking their oath of office on pornographic literature. But God forbid they go anywhere near a Bible. Maybe their hands would burn off. I don't know. But we're living in very trying times. And as I've told some of my friends at the Harumph Society, and I can't recommend that more, it's like that's like therapy for people. Go to the Harumph Society. It's Chris DeGaulle's thing. Become a member there. It's worth every penny that it costs to join. It's not even that expensive. And you will find a place where you can let yourself loose, where you can release. You can say anything you want. You can have your thoughts checked by other people who are common sense conservatives. And you find a place to have an outlet. But your goal should be to make small ripples. Just throw the stones in the water of turbulence that we live in and make your own small ripples. And you'll be amazed at the things you can accomplish with one small effort at a time. And that's my good wish for 2024.
Yeah, it's a shame. You make a couple of great comments, as always, Andy. I've seen you in front of the Commonwealth Court and some of the other proceedings, and you do a wonderful job. A couple things. Number one, And we're going to have a special guest, Judd Dunning, will be joining us soon, the author, comedian, actor, wonderful commercial real estate broker and entrepreneur, great guy. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Civil War statue. The concept of that statue, right after the Civil War, we really had two countries completely, and it was an effort to bring the country together so there would be understanding, because there was tremendous animosity that reigned for a number of years because of the carpetbagging, some of the abuses that went on, the advent of the KKK and things like that. So these were things for bringing reconciliation. So that statue represented reconciliation during a civil war that probably, I think, close to 600,000 people died during that war. It was a brutal, brutal war, brother against brother, family against family, and it was brought about by that. The other thing that bothers me, you know, when you go to Eastern Europe, the death camps are still there. Those examples of the Holocaust are still there. And the reason why they're there and why they haven't been torn down is to represent that this should never happen again. So a lot of the monuments that exist that people want to tear down, they're trying to block out history. Instead of remembering history so that we don't repeat it, is another way of looking at what we should be doing. So this reparations things, in which less than 5% of Americans that are living today had anything to do with slavery in their family. In fact, some of the biggest liberals had slaves in their distant families, if I remember correctly. These are things that do not bring us together. They just foster hate. And if you look at the Democratic Party of the day, it's all about victims. They're also willing to convict people of something before they're even tried. In America, it's supposed to be you're innocent until proven guilty. But under the DOJ, the corrupted lawfare that's happening today, you're guilty even before you do it.
Well, look at the Colorado Supreme Court barring Trump from being on the on their ballot,
because,
or at least trying to.
Because you instigated a insurrection in which there's enough evidence out there today that pretty much shows that insurrection was an inside job, so to speak, that it was fostered and there were people planted in there. These are the things that the evidence needs to come out. So we've only heard half the story. And also, if you look at some of the tapes, which I've seen some of the tapes, people were let into the Capitol building. They did nothing. In fact, the only insurrection, you had 800,000 people came there basically unarmed. There was no weapons confiscated that I know of from anybody.
The only weapons used were by the Capitol Police.
Right. So in any event, these are the things that we have to look at, and we understand our guest is on the air, so I'm going to bring him on. But first I want to tell you, he has an interesting life story, and I've seen some of his shows. I mean, this guy basically really did the journey. He started as
a Renaissance man.
He started as a young mind with mush, as Rush used to say. Then he went. then he went into his liberal group. You know, traveled Europe, saw that, figured there was a better way of life, and then slowly but surely he had this awakening, and he's become a common sense conservative. And his book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. Please get the book. It's very well written. It really lays out in detail all the flaws that liberals like to give us. And there was a couple of things that he pointed out that I've talked about forever. And Judd, you can correct me on any of this. But during Franklin Roosevelt's administration, when they were trying to end the Depression, they were throwing money left and right at everything. And at the end of that time frame, after his second term, he was actually probably going. If World War II did not happen, he would have probably lost that election because we were heading into another depression. Because all the mechanisms that they needed to do, which was to generate the private sector, they didn't do. It got so dominated by the government. And I know you agree with that because in your book you go into great detail about it. So, Judd, welcome to the Don't Back Down show. We are so happy to have you on. I understand you did modeling. You've done, I mean, I'm starting to live vicariously through your life.
I was exhausted reading his resume.
Yes, I was too.
Maybe it's time to redact that and just face entropy.
Well, welcome to the show. a couple of things. I'd like people to understand your family history because I think it's really unique because you've been in a lot of places. Your family grew up in Cuba and some of the other places. Why don't you just tell the folks out there exactly about your family history and how you became the Judd Dunning of today?
I'll simplify it to this. As I tell people, if they want to understand America, understand military history so we know what the real threats of socialism, communism, theocracies, plutocracies, you know, communism, and all despotic regimes are. So, you know, when we're a young country, like under 250 you know, years old, and then you look at Europe, and you look at all these ancient cultures that have had all these cycles. Like we have this really, this is before I go into that, this is the main point I want to frame it is, if we look at the youth and beauty and power of America, and you really understand our expansionary history, and you really understand everything we fought for, you wouldn't be throwing it away quickly, right? It's that simple. It's a hubris to know that we're young, we're dynamic, we're powerful. The world, these other places that have sustained for many, many years, we're young and powerful, and we're kind of throwing that away. So when I look at my history as a conscious conservative American, that's how I look at my history. And when I look at it, I'm like, okay, you know, grandma fled the pogroms. She came over from Poland and the Ukrainian border into Ellis Island, right? She was fleeing oppression. And then my family came over at 1700 from 1774, I think, 1774, came over, fought the British over here. Now, my other grandpa, he went down to Cuba, and when he was down there, Batista was friends with us. Castro came, shot my mother's dog, and they moved back to the States. They were developers down there. So, you know, we are people who have been freed from multiple forms of repression. And that's who I am as an American today. I'm a common sense person. And so when you look at America through that lens, or if you look at America through what we did in North Korea and what we fought there, and if you look at what was actually going on in Vietnam, not the story that was spun, you know, with Vietnam Victory Day and everything positive that's happened, our stories matter. So the point is, when you look at your book, when I look at my book, I'm like, oh, you know, we came over, and I'm a direct descendant of Robert E. Lee on one side, and I've got family on the other side of the Civil War. So I think that context matters. Like, you know, I'm proud to be in this hyper dynamic experiment that the liberal left can't destroy as a Dunning at this point in history. So that's my frame. And then I'll tell you guys the other thing about how did I, you know, it's so funny you're opening with the liberal thing. It's been a long, long time, but when I got out of Colorado State University, even though I came from Republican roots, man, I didn't have one discussion. It was the same stuff. It was racism, climatism, the patriarchy, repressive, you know, Republican left in the 80s. It was the exact same narrative. There's another historical moment, like kids forget. like historically the same PC over PC war, gender accommodate, all that ultimately existed, you know, prior. And so, you know, I was brainwashed in college all the way back then. You can imagine how bad college is. Then I came to Hollywood, got further, like emotionally compassionate, and lost, you know, the construct. And I moved to Europe, and then I, you know, I figured it out. And then I'm a 9/11 conservative. You know, as when 9/11 came, and I really dug in and looked at history, because war finally came to me, an American, on our soil. That was a real act of war. And then I woke up. So that's kind of the framing of the journey, gentlemen.
Well, the interesting thing is, and in your book, you go into detail on we're still trying to figure out what the half point is, but we figured out
that was going to be my first question. that's just ruined it.
That was Andy's first question, is what the heck the half point was. But we'll get you to get to that point. But, you know, one of the things I loved when you talked about the uniqueness of the free market system and capitalism as compared to all of the other systems. Now, you're probably obviously like me, a student of history, and it would seem to be very simple to me to take a look at history and for our leaders to do more of what historically has worked and less of what has historically not worked. And it seems that we continually fall into that category from some of these leaders, especially the progressive liberal leaders, keep on trying to force a round peg in a square hole by saying all we have to do is spend more money, all we have to do is a little bit more of this, a little bit more DEI, a little bit more of this, and we're going to have this great world. Instead, by doing that, you're building this new Tower of Babel that will collapse all around us. And I love the way you frame it in many of your chapters around those kind of things. One of the interesting thing is, and you and I have a lot of simpatico, is we are both commercial real estate brokers in our other lives. And you know,
and I'm a commercial real estate attorney.
He's a commercial.
Oh wow! Well, it's the last day of the year. Technically, we better get off the show.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we're going to convert this show completely to real estate at this particular point. And tell people why they should be buying. No, I'm only kidding about that. But one of the things that drives me crazy, and you have do it so well, and that's talking about the capital gains tax that's out there. It is actually a punishing tax. And I've often told people, imagine a world in our country without a capital gains tax. That would literally mean people will be more willing to sell their properties and move into other investments, giving people below them an opportunity to buy those properties, because nobody wants to sell properties when they're faced with a 20-some percent capital gains tax, which is a punishing tax. And it's actually very regressive, that tax. It really prevents the easy movement of people through the stratifications of different economic levels.
All taxes are regressive, but one stops people from investing or reinvesting in many cases.
Right.
So, yeah, it's bad. But go ahead, Judd. Why don't you respond to that?
Well, I think the biggest delusion, right, is that we don't have a hyper-progressive taxation situation where, like, you know, 90% of Americans pay the majority. I mean, 10% of Americans pay the majority of taxes, right? So I think that's the most important thing that we have to stop and show people the clarity of that. I think inheritance taxes are just completely nuts. Like, we're taxing people on the success of the American dream, right? So 100%. I mean, look, I think one of the biggest things I love to do is to show people that I love Mitt Romney's. It's the only thing I love about Mitt Romney was when he.
I always liked his hair myself. I thought his hair was done pretty well. I think he goes to the same barber that Newsom goes to. That's just another story.
Exactly. And if he wasn't an anti-Trump or New World Orderist, I'd probably still like some of his policies. But anyway, moving on. You know, I loved when he's like, "Hey, man, I make $20 million, but I barely pay taxes because I can direct who I give to and take care of." I mean, the tax codes are massive, and they're not. We do have a free market system, so people can go and hire their own tax attorney. Somebody said something great to me, which blew me away one day, completely changed the way I look at American taxes. They said they've given us a puzzle. Go figure it out. There's a reason there's a lot of loopholes. It's better to spend your money on a great accountant than it is to spend your money giving money to the government and send your money back into the economy and send it back into, by your daily actions. we stimulate, you know, sales tax alone stimulates. That's taxation that, you know, that just flows into the economy. Biden has now taxed us with about 30% inflationary tax.
Right, which is which, as you know, is the most insidious tax any government can perpetrate on its people, because
it
really hurts. It doesn't hurt the rich people. It hurts everybody below what we define as rich. And, of course, the Democrats never define who's rich, as you often state in your book, too, by the way.
Rich is anybody they haven't taken the money from yet. Yeah, that's the definition.
The guy who makes $20,000 thinks the guy that makes $40,000 is rich. So that's how it really works.
Yeah. And why don't they frame it that way? Say, hey, we overspent a ton of money. We overspent a bunch of stimulus with omnibus bills. And so, you know, guess what, America? Hey, could everybody send in $60 today via Venmo? I mean, we could try to – could we wipe it out? Or, hey, could we take, you know, Federal Reserve lands and, you know, for 10 years, could we do a lease and sell it to these companies? There's a lot – could everybody that comes into the border, could they have to buy a house? You know, there's so many ways innovatively that Trump was the only person that came in that's why they want to, you know, basically either probably assassinate him or, you know, degrade him. We had one businessman that came and said, hey, let's look at this as a business. Let's look at this let's look at, you know, the American dream as a functional business instead of a place where we just support an elite class.
Well, he was also one, as you know from his show, The Apprentice, he was also one, look, if you can't produce, you're fired. So his whole, and that's what people don't get about him, and you and I understand it, Andy understands it, Liz understands it, Billy Mike over here understands it. Even TJ, our wonderful guy that sits behind the booth and makes all this work, he understands it, that, you know, no poor people create jobs. It's always the successful people that create jobs. So he wanted to accomplish something and not fail. So if you weren't producing, you're out the door. And it's hard for people to come to grips with that he was demanding things of people to be successful, to be the best versions of themselves. And that's what we saw with Trump.
What's crazy? Just on a kind of a sidewinder, I had a buddy put out a $75,000 analyst job for a master's degree yesterday. They got 2,500 apps in like 2 days.
Oh my God!
So that's if you've got a good job out there, you know, right now, why they're decimating the stability of our economy. You know, the way to move up, and I think you just brought, you know, is the American ethic. It's just like, be joyous, be of service, be selfless, you know, be proud. You know, these really the way that we move up and the people that we keep us around us, you know, the people, the system is reflected by our underlying, you know, the mitzvah. I love this. You know, I have Jewish stepkids in a Christian home. So I've been going to both. That's in my book as well. And, you know, the highest misvote, the highest commandment of all is to be of service while you do all the commandments, right?
Takuna Lomit's called, do good for the world.
To be joyous, yeah, to be joyous, right? To be joyous, excuse me, to be joyous while you serve, you know? And I think that, you know, Trump brought that up, you know, hey, let's, you know, don't be good, don't be okay, don't be dependent, be great. You know, I hope that where I've been settling, you know, doing a lot of, I've got a new book I'm working on, and what I hope to see, gentlemen, is that you know, God has actually intervened in America a few times. There's been storms. There's been Kit Carson ran into somebody in the desert. You know, there's all these weird moments in our real history. By the way, I want to throw this out to your people out there. You know, my wife and I just sat down. We watched The Sons of Liberty, which is right around, you know, Davy Crockett and everybody who was, you know, elemental at the very beginning. The Boston Tea Party, and then goes right into the frontier. Excuse me, the frontiersmen who made America. They're both on Prime, and we're studied people. I've written books. You guys are on the air, and with all of your accomplishments, but we forgot like how America shouldn't have happened. There's just again and again and again. So I think, you know, I think God, if there is a God, which I believe, I think, you know, there's still some divine blessing in this good country that's watching as a supreme, you know, as a judge in Colorado tries to destroy our democracy.
So Judd Dunning, we're going to take a brief commercial break here on the Don't Back Down show with Stan Casaccio, Andy Tuttleman, and in studio with today is our executive producer, Liz Deal. And we have the honor of having Judd Dunning the Renaissance man on. He's written the book, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal.
Yes, how to go from young mush mind to a common sense conservative.
And Judd, I have a tough question for you when we get back, but we're going to take a quick commercial break right now.
Hey, all you great people who left New York for Florida, we want you back. We've made tons of changes since you've been gone, and you're going to love what we've done with the place. Like in our libraries, where every night is now dudes who dress like ladies' night. And we heard you hate unnecessary lockdowns, which is why we're not locking down anyone, including the Central Park masturbator, the downtown defecator, and the Riddler. Plus, why pay $250 to see Mickey Mouse when you can see tons of real mice for free?
Wow, that's awesome.
That's right, kid. And we've got tons of entertainment options for the whole family, like Crazy Guy Yelling on Street Corner and Sidewalk Slasher. And if you felt like there's too many old people in Florida, don't worry. In New York, our leaders took care of that years ago. And in Florida, it's hot all the time. But New York has all four seasons. Hot, really hot, cold, and this. So come back to New York, where we promise to kill you less.
Are we facing a global financial crisis? Is it a good time to buy or sell a home? And what's happening with these interest rates? Diane Cardano-Casaccio from the Cardano Realty Team with my 2024 real estate advice and predictions. First, stop listening to the mainstream media. Then go to my YouTube channel for my latest market update. I predict home prices to go up, inventory to rise when the interest rates come down to at least 5.3%. Call me for my 2024 real estate guide, 215-576-8666, 215-576-8666.
Now they want to politically correct up Christmas stories so they don't offend nobody and everybody everywhere can enjoy them. So this is a story formerly known as "Twas the Night Before Christmas." It is now called "Twas the Night Before a Non-Denominational Winter Holiday." "Twas the Night Before a Non-Denominational Winter Holiday." Went all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The neutral gift sacks were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that a non-specific holiday figure would soon be there. Children of every race, creed, and nationality were resting all snug in their beds while visions of sugar-free plums danced in their heads. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I got up out of bed to see what was the matter and to see who was violating the neighborhood sound level ordinance. But what to my wondering eyes did appear but an emissions-free vehicle, an 8-size challenge reindeer. Holiday figure was so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Holiday figure. He had a broad but normal face, an advanced-sized belly, and he laughed. Lady of the evening, lady of the evening, lady of the evening. Can you believe that? What in the world? You can't even say ho, ho, ho no more. What kind of commie is this? I don't care who you are. His name is Santa Claus, and he cracks deer with a horse whip, breaks into people's houses, drinks rum and eggnog, and looks like Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard.
Welcome back to the Don't Back Down
great.
Show.
I hope
starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes.
That was terrific.
I hope you enjoyed that, Judd.
It's funny because it's true.
So Judd Dunning, I have an economics question for you, and we are all fundamentally in the same business. We're watching the commercial real estate market. For us in the Pennsylvania region, the Philadelphia area, for you in probably a broader scale, judging from your resume, but I think we're all seeing the same thing. 2024 is going to be a hard year for all businesses, but a lot of people are saying commercial real estate is going to take it on the chin for a couple of reasons. Number one, a lot of the 5-year loan-to-own notes will be coming due on commercial properties. Two, the occupancy rates, especially for office buildings, seems to be declining. Retail is not doing fantastically. The only zones that we're seeing improvement and growth in is warehousing and distribution centers. So I'd just like to get your take on the real estate, the commercial real estate market, as you see it going into 2024. Judd, did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Now we got you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. If you don't mind, I think I'm on speakers. Is it okay?
Yeah,
no, you sound
fine.
Good.
You sound good. You can do three things at one time. That's okay with us.
So it's so funny. I do have an industrial fund, and we've done about $1 billion in the last 3 years. And, you know, the American dream has burned me out like everybody else to achieve it. But I was at Newmark Capital Markets, West Coast across the United States, and we worked with banks and servicers through the last crash. So that was my job before I went independent. And, you know, I do this, write books, do radio and articles with Newsmax as a form of service. And interesting, you know, if you look at the last four or five Fed retractions, they were like they went down within 24 months to 190 basis points. So if you look historically, right? And I'll frame it. And then if you look at the Fed, I've got the Fed projections in front that the votes recently. Like, you know, you're seeing that the Fed members are going to bring it down as they would go. But then if you look back, and if you look back a little further, and this is what matters, is during the 1992 Gulf War recession and then the dot-com bust and 9/11, as quickly as the Fed raised these last 11 hikes, in an election year, if those CMBS maturities slaughter America in the next 24 months, I think they're still going to have to head in the stats, you know, trust the stats. I mean, the Fed people are so removed from the personal pains of wealth. I mean, they have statistical analysis, and so you're going to see that I think they're going to return, that the rates are going to come down. And I think the maturities are going to slaughter us. I think, you know, big office is safe, small owner user and office is safe. I think multifamily, hyper mature. And, you know, you have to be careful in that sector. But I think so many Americans got their savings slaughtered during the COVID redistribution scam that and credit card debt is so high that a need is going to continue to prop up multifamily, even though it's hyper mature. I think retail, I think a lot of people are returning to retail because, you know, we don't want to be boxed up. I go out in the streets of Texas or Los Angeles, the two places I live. The streets are busy. People are going back in the world. But office is definitely coming down the pike, and I think you guys are seasoned like me. I think we've got, you know, two tougher years. Industrial's safe haven. That's where we're in because it's not that it's not hyper mature. But what's different than the last crash is the dark paper issues were, you know, that caused the last crash. It's hard to get a loan right now. So I think that, you know, we're relatively stable. There's a lot of external investment in America. And, you know, hopefully the biggest thing is does America go back to the right in a corrupted electoral and voting structure system? But, and I know some people in the alphabet agencies that said, you know, we've been manipulating elections for many, many cycles and that it's going to be a tough road to hoe ahead. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think America goes between supply side economics, you know, more limited government, and it goes into war spending under Democrats. And they're war spending, so to keep us stable. But
well,
I think
Judd, isn't there a distinct difference between the other cycles that you've referred to where it's almost predictable how we're going to come out of the last bad cycle with the next influx of whatever they do to inject stimulus into the economy? This time around, there seems to be a couple of things on the horizon. It looks like it's almost a purposeful destruction of the American economy. The money supply is so out of control. We are so many trillions of dollars beyond what we can manage that the debt service alone is going to be its own tax on the economy and make it impossible for the government to supply fundamental services. And then you've got China and Russia, and I guess all the BRICS nations for that matter, turning away from the petrodollar and starting to deal in their own currencies. How do we overcome the fact that the dollar will not be dominating the world economy, which is the only reason we've been able to be staying afloat the way we have for the last 30 or 40 years?
Yeah, well, I think we all know what's going on. As many countries would love to try to get off the dollar, and it's amazing, right, that I'd say the brittle position of strength for America was able to be decimated by Biden so quickly. I mean, as soon as we show military weakness from Afghanistan on, Ukraine on, Israel, okay, you know, we're really moderating. I think the world is definitely like, oh, well, why do we have to stay on the American dollar? That's a consideration. But I will say, in a side of hope, and I do agree that they wanted to crash the system so they can gain control. That's basically what socialists and communists do and cultural Marxists. Unfortunately, and in my new book, 13 and a Half Reasons Why to Love America and How to Stop the Angry Left, How to Stop the Angry Woke Left and Preserve the America We Love, 90% of our economic vehicle is not all driven by, you know, the elite class in Washington. I mean, our underlying base is still hyper, hyper strong. So I do agree that the cycle may be rough, but I think, you know,
Interesting thing, Judd. You know, when we look at all the millions of people coming up and crashing our border, all of those people, and I tell this to people, they're all coming from socialist, progressive, liberal societies, which have these large government. And as you often express in your book, the larger the government, the less the individual has the ability to create something new. It saps the entrepreneur's spirit from everybody because government dominates everything. And then we know they're inefficient. They just clock in, as you say in the book, they just clock in and clock out. And there's no effort to stay up 3 o'clock in the morning to make sure we can meet the payroll the next day. So that's the interesting thing. I think these people coming up from the border, at some point in time, they're going to be like you. They're going to move from where they are to realize, wait a minute, they let us in here, but they're screwing us anyhow, because just look how they're being treated in these cities that are supposedly, quote, sanctuary cities, as you can see.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm an optimist, but I'm not blind. So there was something I have with Fred Kagan at the AEI conference I was at. He's one of my favorite think tanks. If you don't support American Enterprise Institute and you're on the right, boy, dig in. I mean, their coverage of Israel has been amazing as well. I mean, just really factual from their Iran critical date threat desk. The clearest coverage on Israel without all the spin is coming out of AEI's Iran critical threat desk. I just donated to them again, threat desk. You know, one of the things that Kagan said is it looks like we're going to take, you know, we thought there was going to be, you know, a decade of young conservatives to bring America back. You know, and Trump did it in 3 months. So it did show us that we have a facile system. I just hope that I hope we can rotate leadership, you know, and we've always rotated leadership. But the statistical model was really ripped up and broken. There were like, I don't know, I forgot the numbers, like 24 or 38 statistical probabilities broken when the, you know, Biden and the left, you know, went to mail-in ballots to, you know, be the most aggressive. I mean, they bragged about it in Time, right? Forget whether you're a Dominion person or not, or what you think about the new Dinesh D'Souza film, which was fantastic. I think all of that's real. I've seen people actually steal stuff on our elections. But I think that they ran the playbook really, really well.
Oh, by the way, the Democratic Party has been stealing elections since Tammany Hall back in New York.
One could even argue that they stole the JFK election.
They have a lot of practice in stealing elections from Tammany Hall through, Mayor Daley in New York, in Chicago in 1960, asking Joe Kennedy, how many votes you need, because I think I can find them in the basement. And, of course, Illinois threw the balance to Jack Kenney, which, by the way, and I think you'll agree with me today, and I think you even talk about this in your book, Jack Kennedy could not be nominated or elected in the Democratic Party because, number one, he was a supply-sider. He cut personal taxes for the first time in a couple of years, and he was also pro-life. And I think you agree with that.
I do, and Catholic, right? So at the time, which, by the way, that kind of blows me away, right, all the hyper-accommodationism that America even had thing about Catholicism. It's so, like, you know, monarchy, British, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I do agree with you on that degree. And I think that, you know, most importantly, we're going to see I think Trump's nomination, we're going to see out one of the most interesting election cycles that we've ever seen. I mean, we've got, you know, the courts in the middle of this. We've got the, you know, big tech and who's openly been outed and contaminated. You know, does America have amnesia now? Do they have no memory? We've seen the Biden corruption be, you know, clearly documented, proved. Elon's been doing a great job pushing it out there. You know, there's so many blatant, we've seen the proof of the manipulation of COVID. We've seen all these violations. We've seen these omnibus bus bills, pork barreling, like nobody's business in the public eye. We've seen Trump be continually relieved again and again and again. Will America, drink the Kool-Aid?
Judd Dunning, you're hitting on the key point. All the facts are right in front of our faces if we're willing to see them and take them in. But I deal with some of the most intelligent people I know, and these are clients, they are friends. They're very successful business people.
Yes, and I've met them.
He knows what I'm talking about. And when you bring up these facts, they are so drunk on the Kool-Aid that when you take a business decision to them, they're clear, they're precise, they know how to evaluate the facts and how to assess risk. And then the minute you start talking about, and you don't have to mention Trump's name, you just talk about the issues of the day, the border, you name it. And the eyes glaze over, and they go into talking points that have been infiltrated into their brains through the mainstream media, which these busy people still rely on. And that's the problem. People aren't really allowing themselves to be exposed to the contra thoughts or to think critically about what's happening in our society.
And I believe that that's because the people in this country, their knowledge of history only goes back about 5 days. I now change that to 3 days.
I think it's a matter of minutes.
So, and Andy's at matter of minutes, and it brings out what you just said. You have a chapter 13 in your book, 13 and a half reasons not to be not to be liberal. You've got facts, Trump, no pun intended, feelings and deeds, and I think was really a wonderful chapter because it talks about the fact you go in depth about the global warming, the climate crazies out there that basically. You cannot prove a negative or something like that. How you explain it is wonderful. I urge people to get the book, 13 and a Half Reasons Why.
And before you answer this, Judd, why don't you tell people where they can get the book? Yes. What's your preferred bookseller?
Oh, thanks. I think you could go to www.newsmax. Well, I don't know if it's www.https, semicolon. I don't know. But
newsmax.com.
/13, but the best place is just go Judd Dunning on Amazon. You know, it'll just pop right up there. And then the other way people can follow us is just Judd Dunning on Twitter. I love you guys to come and follow us. That's really where I get to drop my articles. My real passion is the articles that we get to write. I've written like 80 for Newsmax or something, and you know, that's where you get that freedom. They gave me a column to then get on the radio and talk about it with you, because this really is the last free place, is the American airwaves of AM radio. So I appreciate you guys having me on. I want to give you one little gem. What was the 13 and a half reason? You asked me at the very beginning.
Yeah, what
the
was
half.
That?
What's
we're,
the half?
We're after the half. Andy needs to know the half.
Okay, the 13 and a half was abortion and why. So some women got offended, like, why did you put abortion as the 13 and a half? And other people said, well, you know, it belongs there. The reason is if a civil society, because people shouldn't make their decision on being a Democrat or a liberal on whether a baby has life or not. It's greater than politics. So it should be outside the argument. And any civil society should never resolve capital punishment. It should never resolve gun rights, gun issues. It should never resolve life. Part of our dynamicism, I think, is that these conscious discussions are constantly argued over because they have so much inherent divine value, because we're talking about life. And if people look at it like, oh, the conflict is a sign of our civility because America puts life above all else, right? So we set it outside, like don't make your choice to be a Republican if you're pro-choice. Then don't not be a Republican because of that. So it was a little bit of psychological placement to keep people. You shouldn't just make your decision off pro-choice alone as a woman. Make it off the platform and then get active in that area if you want change.
I think that's a perfect way to highlight the point, because for some reason abortion dominates the national dialogue, even when it shouldn't. We were friendly with Mark Houck, and he is also, you mentioned the D'Souza film about police state. He was actually in that. He had a cameo, and actually not more than a cameo, an interview. They reenacted his the FBI siege of his home, and with drawn guns and M4s and aiming at his children. It was unbelievable what this man went through. We had him on our show, and it's a sign of the times. Because of what happened to him, I've come up with a new name for the FBI. I call him the Fedstapo Bureau of Intimidation, and I don't care if they arrest me for that because it's free speech, and I have a right to criticize them for their conduct. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I'm tired of hearing from these people who want to salve, you know, oh, well, you know, the average rank and file FBI agent's a good person trying to do the right thing. No. No, they're not. You want to know why? If they were good people, they would be standing up to their leadership and they would put a stop to it. Any FBI agent who draws a gun on an average citizen who happened to be down in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, most people in my age group, I'm in my 60s, who were down there have been arrested at gunpoint, had their houses raided, when these people would have happily, not happily, but would have honorably presented themselves if they were asked to come in, and they don't need to raid these houses.
Didn't the excuse that they used in the Nuremberg trial by all those Nazis is we were just following orders?
That's exactly where we are today in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So your book is so on point that it's not funny. It's written in some points in tongue in cheek, but very seriously. So abortion should not be the issue, especially for national elections, because the Supreme Court got this one right in the way that they overturned Roe. And that was saying it's a state's rights issue. Now, one could argue that the Constitution is supposed to guarantee, well, it's the Declaration that said this, but the Constitution is supposed to protect it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life was first. And the hardest thing for me when I talk to people who are just so adamantly pro-abortion, even post-birth abortion, which used to be called murder, these people confound me because they'll do every kind of mental gymnastic in the world to avoid the fact that at the moment of conception, you have a complete human life. And I understand where they're coming from. I was brainwashed for years. It took me a while to get through the cognitive
dissonance.
Yeah, you were
one of those young men with mush mind, too, if I remember correctly.
We all have mush minds.
And then I invited you into my sphere.
No, Stan, you straightened me out because I told you that if I was a teenager and if I was told all I had to do was say I was a woman to get into the girls' locker room, I'd have been there.
Yeah, I know.
But we're living in insane times.
Yeah. Well, Porky's was also a smash hit when we were all younger too. So things have definitely changed.
I love that movie. It should have won an Academy Award. Right. That should have won an Academy Award. I'm still disappointed about that.
You have to be so careful what you say now. You know, I think there's been a great movement. Another redeeming thing is when Hollywood itself starts to actually raise hell again and challenge the status quo. When Saturday Night Live is making fun of Biden and the left in full regalia, when people can talk again. So we launched a show. It was called it was like a right wing Republican show that I was going to do, and I was close to getting on a network and everything. And then when Trump came into office, the world exploded on us. But we put about $100,000 out there. We did this great late night daily show. And, the good news is the fear that was in the air, I'd say it's gone. The Bill Burrs and the Dave Chappelles, and there's some young guys. They're really starting to make fun of PC culture. People are sick of it. So
it's almost,
I would say that's a good sign.
It's almost like the Joe McCarthy era in reverse. The only thing about Joe McCarthy, a lot of his points he was making about communists in the State Department and in other forms of government, turned out to be absolutely true, when we found out when the collapse of the Soviet Union. In this particular case, these people are making it up. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, Jed. I wanted to ask you a question I saw on your Unapologetic show. You talked about manufactured division and how the Democrats use the Black America to oppress white Americans, and you spoke about, how it meant so much to you to speak out about it. Do you want to say anything about that? Because that needs to be said.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is you'll see. I mean, let's just go back to the source, right? Black Americans after the travesty of slavery had the most intense upward trajectory until the 70s and two events, the 40s and the 70s, with war on poverty, hyper accommodationism, to serve the ends of the Democratic left's greater agenda to keep shit, and the most racist party, right, originally. So what you'll see over time is this weakened populace was about this broken concept of Thomas Sowell's element of the anointed. We need a victim class in order for them to work their model. There is no division. There is no elite class that can take over. There is no cultural Marxist endgame without a targeted victim class. And when the way they treated Black Americans, the way they're treating people at the border, and what I say that about the border is really it's also, besides a risk, it's also forced labor. America needs to get off the tit of allowing people to come into our country and be prostituted so their kids, after there's a farm worker and a maid's daughter after, you know, two lifetimes of slavery, let people in. It's not care to let people in. It wasn't care what they did with Black Americans. It is not care how they've now made the trans issue. It's put so much intense, you know, focus and pain upon a very challenged minority population. They have to have a victim class, right? So I wouldn't even just focus on Black Americans. I would say it's a broken concept of constant usury, of using an underdog that they don't really care about. Like, I feel like if you really look at the policies of allowing people the freedom of choice, a natural law, the ability to rise or fall in America, the right really cares more for these populations.
Well, so I really believe the Democratic Party is still a very, very racial motivated party, because it really drives wedges between economic classes without talking about the fact that you need an achievement class to help the other class to move up through it. They have said that I don't believe they would support Martin Luther King's position that it's the content of the person's character, not the color of their skin. And I would add, or their religion or anything else, it's the content of their character, because if you have great character, you're going to be good no matter what. They are opposed to all that. They've constantly created this hatred between the heterosexual and
the Jewish people
and the bisexual people. They've created hatreds between Jewish people and the rest of society. It is just absolutely amazing that people cannot see what's going on in the Democratic
Party.
It's
all a distraction, Stan. They're just trying to get everybody to be fighting about whatever their favorite issue is and not paying attention to what they're really doing to us. And they create dependency classes. I think I want to follow up on something Judd was saying about how they've been using racial divides. They've actually done more damage. The Democrat Party has done more damage to the Black culture than I think any other movement in our country. I saw a statistic recently, Judd, and I don't know if you're aware. You probably are aware of this, judging from how well read you are, that up until the 1960s, when the Great Society laws were put into place by Lyndon Johnson, that the Black families were stronger and more cohesive than white families. They had a lower divorce rate, more likely to have two-parent homes. And that really caught me off guard, because we've been – the decimation to the Black family and the family culture and Black society in America, I think, was ruined by creating a dependency class where one of the criteria for getting more money was having more children and not a man in the house. And people don't see that, and they think you're racist when you say it, but it's the opposite of racist to bring that out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, Stan, JT, Liz, and it's been so great to be here, by the way. Do they care about the homeless? Do they care about the mentally ill? Do they care about the poor? Do they care about the oil workers? Do they really care about the climate?
No, they do care about the homeless, because they give them sidewalks to live on, right?
Yeah, and set fires. And, you know, I mean, sadly, we had somebody die in a tent down the street. You know, hypodermics all over. Couldn't get them arrested. I could go so much harder. Do they really care about the fentanyl risks to our sons and daughters? You know, no. They care about their amassing power for the elite class and trying to force some utopian vision. You know, it's backed by – if I can jump out of the box one last time, you know, if somebody's a globalist, they want to homogenize America to fit the model of this evolving world, right? They're basically divorcing themselves from two things, like – God and country. Is like, if you're really thinking about the dollar and the global community, you're not really thinking about, you know, just being tied to America. You're not really thinking about this country. So we have this, now we have this other thing that's going on. It's like, oh, we should deconstruct America to be more like the international populace. And that in itself is as dangerous as this hyper-accommodationism of all the victim classes to try to polarize our society. I love this room. Everybody's so awake. It's so fun to be here. I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and we appreciate
on.
The time that you've
Judd
given
Dunning,
us.
Judd Dunning, you absolutely have to come back. Yeah, we want to check in with you periodically.
Actually, we'd love to bring you to Philadelphia as a chairman, as chairman of the Pennsylvania Phyllis Schlafly. And by the way,
I was thinking the same thing.
I want you to read the book by Phyllis Schlafly, A Choice, Not an Echo. And if you haven't read it already.
This spring, we want to make you an honoree, and I had the thought independent of Stan, but Stan, my God.
That's how we work. Great minds work in the
it's
great
unbelievable.
Ways. Unbelievable.
So we're past our 2 o'clock station ID, and Judd, so stay with us for a minute while we do that so we can let you go by giving you a chance to remind everyone where they can get in touch with you. So stay with us for another minute.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Frosty the Snowman was a geriatric soul with befuddled eyes, a curious nose, and a chin made out of toes. Frosty the Snowman was the president, they say. But it's all for show, 'cause he doesn't know what he does throughout the day. It must have been some magic that kept him from falling down. 'Cause when they let him walk ahead, he began to roam around. Frosty the Snowman.
Okay, we're coming back right now, so we're going to Judd give them all the places they can get a hold of you. And I know you got it all covered. So real
Thank
quick,
you.
Go for it.
Yeah, real quick. If you want to buy our book, Judd Dunning, 13 and a Half Reasons Why, it'll just pop up on Amazon. We have an audio book there. It'd be an honor and a pleasure. Look for our new book, 13 and a Half Reasons Why, to love America. I can't wait to get that out. It's a few months down the road. And then at Judd Dunning on Twitter or any of the social media, just at Judd Dunning, JUDDUNNING. That's us.
The one thing I will tell you with X, Elon Musk, X, there
Elon,
is
Elon, not Leon. That's his brother.
Elon. The one thing that they're trying to do globally is to crush this man because they fear his ability to have people speak freely about ideas. And I know you see it coming. So we need to do everything we can to support X and Elon.
I'm curious if Judd thinks, it looks to me like they're just trying to get Newsom in as president, and all their agendas is revolving around that.
Well,
he does have
nice hair.
Because Newsom. they want our whole country to be like California, which would be the end of us.
Yeah, Newsom's definitely a notable threat. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole MACA movement. I saw a tape about it today. Make America California again.
Yeah. And that's their plan.
Yeah.
Well, MACA. We have a lot of fun. You don't even know the half of what we do as far as our
now, hopefully we'll get in touch with you, Judd. Hopefully you'll be able to join us at the Phyllis Schlafly event. It's a big celebration. We do it twice a year, once in Philadelphia region, and we do it again in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, February the 8th.
Catherine Engelbrecht is our lead award winner at the Pittsburgh event in February, but we would love to have you out here in May when we do it in the Philadelphia
And bring
area.
Your book, and we'll get...
Oh, yeah.
We'll buy a bunch of them for you and give it out.
Yeah.
Best to you, Judd. Keep them laughing. Keep them thinking. And love your book, 13 and a Half Ways. And the halfway is really good.
Now, thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank
you.
God bless America. Have a great season. Thanks for having us on.
Now, Stan, as we transition into the second hour of the program.
Yeah, because we got the commissioner on. He's going to.
Before we take Tom, I just want everyone to know, TJ just gave us a signal from the booth. He has a copy of the sex tape from the Senate chambers. We're going to give it to the third caller. So call in now to 888-329-3306 for your Christmas copy of the Senate sex tape from our producer, TJ.
Tom, do you want to – I'm going to bring Tom on air. Tom, do you want to respond? Come on,
to the
after
sex tape?
No.
I hope he's still there.
So, Tom, you there? I know you want to. First off, I want to wish you the best in 2000.
Tom, you happen to be caller number 3. TJ, do you want to get that out to him now?
I was just going to say, I hope I'm not caller number three.
No, but Tom DeBell is on. He is the new commissioner in Montgomery County. He is someone significantly different. And I believe as a CEO, a successful business guy, he brings a whole new look to government in Montgomery County. And I'm really looking forward to when you get sworn in on January the 3rd, right?
I'm a little bit concerned. He went and got a Newsom-style haircut. I think he's becoming a politician.
No.
I'm a little worried about Tom.
No.
My haircut hasn't changed in probably 10 years or more.
You know, my haircut hasn't changed since I've been 12 years old. So it's still a mess.
Well, you know, first off, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, and I'm going to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
No, winter holiday season. Holiday. Didn't you listen to the beginning of the show? It's winter holiday season.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
I'm going with Merry Christmas. I will always go with Merry Christmas. And I also wish those happy holidays for those that don't necessarily celebrate Christmas, but there's many, many people that celebrate and recognize Christmas. So I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Tom.
Thanks, Liz. We're getting, it's kind of interesting. We're getting sworn in privately on January 2nd because by code we have to be sworn in January 2nd. So we're going to be sworn in and then in the courthouse. Basically closed, because there's just not the room for everyone. And then we're going to go, the reorg meeting is going to occur that day as well. But then the public swearing in ceremony will be January 3rd.
Which Liz and I are going to be there and we're going to be broadcasting it live on the radio.
Absolutely. I'll be in studio.
Well, that's awesome.
Doing play-by-play. We're going to have live commentary from the sidelines.
If they don't get security to throw
I know
us
there's
out.
Been over...
Sorry.
Well, I know that there's over 600 people that RSVP'd so far. Not sure what that means or how it's going to be handled, but, you know, there's a lot of people coming. I mean, everyone gets sworn in that day. I mean, if there's any judges or all the row officers.
Yeah, I've been there those before, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, the big swearing in is me as for county commissioner, obviously.
I hope so.
Will you be swearing yourself in on the same books that those school board people did in Bucks County and other places recently?
No, I will not. I will be, you know, sworn in on our Bible, and I have Judge Colucci that's going to swear me in. So I'm excited about that. I've known Carolyn for many, many years, and it's unfortunate that she didn't win in November, but she's going to be, I asked her to be the judge to swear me in. So it's going to be an interesting late morning, I guess, or... It starts at 11 o'clock, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there.
So your vision for – so now you're going to be sitting on the board, and I know there's a lot of things that we've talked about over the last year during the campaign and everything else like that, and it would have been great if you were joined by Liz Ferry, then we would have really made a difference. But as an individual, I know you're going to be attempting to get as many common sense people – on boards involved in the local government as you can, because we know that one party rule is a formula for failure and corruption.
You need proof. Look at DC.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm going to do everything I can to get, you know, people appointed and into roles, and have a really push for, like you said, not a one-party rule, but, you know, background, you know, people with different backgrounds and experiences to all the boards and committees will be what's best for Montgomery County. And that's what my plan is to do everything I can to ensure we're doing what's right for the county. You know, we talked about this, you know, throughout the year. The county's going in a really bad direction. I mean, the taxes, and you know, like, you know, true form, right after the election, the results were in. The county commissioners had their proposed their budget for 2024, and I didn't think they could outdo themselves, but they did. So they're going with a 13% tax increase for 2024.
And of course, we responded. I heard a lot of the conversation, public input, and I would say at least 80% of the input was opposed to that size increase in taxes. But they really don't care. They're on their own mission to pretty much destroy Montgomery County with taxes, because we all know, and Tom, I know you know this on a personal basis, that anytime you increase taxes, you hurt the economy and you don't improve the economy.
Yeah.
Bigger government means less freedom for people.
Right. I mean, it's you know, when you look over the last 3 to 4 years total, combined tax increases are over 34%, or around 34%.
Yeah, and that's not including the taxes that are perpetrated on you by the school districts and your local community.
No. No, I mean, some you know, school districts on average have been seeing a 3 to 3.5% tax increase in 2023. Districts obviously over that and districts under that. But on average, it was 3.5%. You have townships at 2-3% or more. Now you have the county tax. So people's taxes in 2023 going into 2024 have raised total, not talking about income tax, but the, you know, there's the property tax and local taxes and that have raised, you know, almost 20% total combined in, you know, going into 2024. And, you know, inflation, and this one I just laugh at when they say, oh, inflation's coming down. Inflation's not coming down. It's inflation's not growing at the rate that it just what it was growing over the last couple months, what we've seen. We're still, I mean, you know, you go to a store, people are complaining. Prices are high. Gas is up. You know, the cost of living is up. You know, so inflation, when the media talks about inflation coming down, it's not coming down. It's just not growing at a high rate.
Well, you got to remember, it's the
same 7-8%.
Yeah, you got to remember, this is the same media that told us that that it was Russian disinformation, that Donald Trump was a Russian spy, and that Hunter Biden's laptop did not exist. It was Russian disinformation. So these are people that have continually lied to us, and they've also told us that January 6th was an insurrection, albeit completely unarmed. That's the first time in history that there was a totally unarmed insurrection in which the only person that was killed was a person protesting and who had the right to present their in the Constitution of the right to redress issues. And we had a right to come there and protest. And there was not an insurrection. So these are the same people that also told us that BLM riots were mostly peaceful. So,
well, and if we ever get back to a government where, you know, when you're talking about the FBI, when Andrew's talking about the FBI and the raid on Huck's house and that, if we ever get back to a government, a majority of those people that are being now that were arrested and, you know, in jail for a year or more without even having a hearing and then getting sentenced, majority of those people would have never been arrested. What did they do? They didn't do anything other than, and the video and the tape show it, the doors were open and people walked into the hallways. Well, there was a small group of people that took it too far, but the majority of people were kind of wandering in, but nobody wants to look at the facts.
Yeah, I'm often wondering how many people the FBI tracked in BLM riots that had phones and everything, and they went to their house and perp walked them with arresting them, broke down the doors.
I have that number.
Zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, there are articles out there that the ones, they were BLM, the ones that trusted in the Trump.
Yeah.
So it really was them, and that's what we have to prove.
And, of course, Alan Dershowitz is on record saying that many of the charges to people on January 6th will be overturned, especially if we have a fair court, not a court like in Colorado, who doesn't give a damn about American principles or the Constitution they swore on.
It is the high court, and that was one of the first states to legalize marijuana, but I'm not bringing those two things together.
You know, that's a very interesting point. the high court in Colorado.
In an early state to legalize marijuana.
Yeah. Fits perfectly.
So circling back around to, you know, to Montgomery County, I mean, my goal when sworn in, I mean, my you know, what I'll say, my four pillars of my, you know, priorities, at least in 2024, right off the top is going to be finances and, you know, taxes and that. I want to really look at the budgeting process and looking at trying to get things right as we go into 2025 budgeting. I'm not sure what I'll be able to do for 2024 once the budget's adopted, is adopted. But I'm going to be looking at that. I'm definitely going to focus on, you know, community safety. The crime is still, you know, rising. I was actually at an event last night, and I ran into a couple police chiefs from a couple different municipalities, and I was talking with them. And, you know, the bail reform matrix came up, and, you know, they can't support it. They say that it's been, you know, it's been creating a lot of problems in our communities with people getting arrested and back on the street quickly. So they don't support it, and they want to talk about it. I mean, so that's going to be a big issue. Election integrity. I mean, I we just had an election in November. It took almost a month from November 7th to October 5th, I think it was, or 4th, 5th, or I don't remember the date, that whatever that Monday was. It was almost an entire month before the election was finally certified and closed out. How ridiculous is that? A month that this election went on for.
Yeah, and it was also interesting that on election night, before the first in-house, in-person vote was counted, all of the commissioners, and to a large degree, all the other people that were running, you guys were 64,000 votes behind before a first in-house vote was cast, which just goes to show you how poorly the MCRC did in getting the early vote out and getting the mail-in ballots out, and how poorly.
What's the MCRC? What do they do?
Nothing really. Oh. They just like to raise money and whatever they do. I don't know.
No, but who are they supposed to be working for?
I have no idea who they're working for. I think they're working for the Democrats right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I just forget who they are and what they do.
I think that in the new year, I think that we could have great conversations around you know, the future of the Montgomery County Republican Party. And I think that we have to have great conversations about the future of the Pennsylvania Republican Party.
Josh Prince for party chairman, Pennsylvania party chairman.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, yeah, it would.
Well, when you look at the election results across the state, we got serious issues that have to be, you know, addressed from a party perspective. Your last guest, when you were talking about, you know, when is, you know, sanity going to come back in? I don't get it. I don't get the, you know, people or the vote. I mean, the school board race in Central Bucks, that race that was flipped over there. I mean, some of these elections, I just don't understand what people, I don't think they really understand or believe what's going on currently in our schools, in our society, in our communities. I don't understand how they could sit there and support, you know, continuing high tax increases. I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't. I'm dumbfounded by it.
Well, the word's got to be gotten out there, Tom. And now that we have you sitting on the Montgomery County Commissioners, we're going to be able to do that. But stand by for one minute because I want to be able to.
Before you get into the ad, and I want you to do it, the one thing that you'll differ is you're going to fight to get people, common sense people, on different boards in Montgomery County, which has been sorely lacking over the last 8 years because the other person on the board who was there never felt there was anybody qualified enough other than himself to be pointed to any other board. So he kind of let everybody down by that, never giving anybody a chance to get out there. And there were a lot of great people that should have been appointed to boards and been part of the Montgomery County. And I think there would have been a difference. And I know you'll do that. Also, one other thing before Andy reads the ad is that please tell me when this board, which I know the guy who got elected, Neil, is probably so far left. He's what's on the left? The spoon? The fork?
No, he walks backwards.
Yeah, he's so far left he walked backwards. They will be making a reparations vote on that board. And please tell me that you will do everything and anything to prevent that from happening.
Unless it's reparations to the taxpayers who have been raped all of these years.
Right, unless it's reparations to taxpayers, especially senior citizens who are getting bumped out of their houses. So now we'll read our ad.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, well, stand by, Tom. We're not done with you yet, but we have to send out our Christmas and Happy New Year greetings from the Roofing Dynamics Group. So for our listeners who own or manage large commercial properties, have you ever had any roofing issues? Do you even know the true condition of your roof? Roofing is something that you don't think about until you have a problem, and by then it's too late to avoid costly repairs or replacements. Did you know that nearly every large flat roof has a leak at some point? Whether from severe storm or age, even a small leak can have devastating effects on your building and its occupants. With so much at stake, be proactive and call Roofing Dynamics Group, the trusted advisor you need to tell you the true condition of your roof. Utilizing modern technology such as infrared scans, moisture probes, and even drones, Roofing Dynamics can pinpoint immediate problems before they become huge problems with precise accuracy. They can evaluate just how long your commercial roof will last and provide recommendations and budgets that will save you money. For a free preliminary survey of your commercial roof, call Roofing Dynamics at 215-491-9000 and ask for Audrey, or visit them online at www.roofingdynamics.com. Again, that's 215-491-9000 or www.roofingdynamics.com. And I can tell you with certainty, because actually Stan used their services, they will save you money, because you're going to find out you need to get your roof repaired or replaced before you have a leak. And that the difference there is you can't even calculate the difference. Now, Roofing Dynamics doesn't do the roofing repair work. They're not trying to sell you that service. They're trying to save you from spending more than you should by waiting too long. So call Roofing Dynamics Group, and they ask that we personally tell you for them, Merry Christmas, Happy Winter Holiday, if that's what you're doing, and a Happy New Year.
And they tell you that if Santa Claus comes on your roof, it shouldn't damage the roof.
Yes, but the Santa Claus they're talking about wears golf shoes, and that's not good.
That's not good. No, that's not good. So, Tom, I know it was a tough year for you and Liz. You gave it the best shot you can, and but you won at the end, and you're there, and I feel very comfortable that you will fight very hard to be heard, and I look forward for you to coming on the radio. If you have an issue that's coming up, please come on the radio. Let us know what it is so we can get the message out and get you the support you need, the public support you need to help you get these issues brought to the fore, and maybe we can change a few things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my goal is to be very vocal out there and, you know, hope to not only do your show but some of the other shows so that, you know.
You're going to cheat on us?
What's going
no,
on.
He's going to go on Chris.
That's the goal. Yeah, all right. We'll give him permission to go there.
Yeah. I want to do what I can to, you know, get you know, information out there, because during the year of campaigning with Liz, I mean, one of the things that we definitely have heard, you know, talking with the, you know, the community, is that they're not aware of stuff that's going on. We got to do a better job of just getting information out into the communities. So that's going to be a high priority of mine as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the MCRC, if they ever get back into any kind of shape, is they have to do more of a marketing. You can't sell a product if you don't market it, and if you don't cover the right issues and be on the right side of common sense. So that's something that has to be done too.
Not that we
watch. Yeah, and like I said, in the new year, in a new year, we could have conversations around that and, you know, what, you know, the establishment and all kind of stuff, because, you know, there's a lot of hardworking Republican committee people and Republican volunteers out there that truly are upset with where things are at, and they want change, they want leadership, and they want to get us back in the direction of winning these races, because they're seeing their schools, districts fall apart. They're seeing their communities. They're seeing a high tax. I mean, they're seeing high taxes. They're seeing the crime. I mean, they're seeing it, and they're like, we got to fight back. I mean, so we have our work cut out for us. So we definitely in the new year will be talking a lot about that as well.
All right. And I know you'll be a voice because right now you're the highest official in the Republican Party elected in Montgomery County. So as far as I'm concerned, you're the leader of the Republican Party in Montgomery County.
I'll vote for that.
Right. Yeah, well, and hopefully we can get his... I was going to say, Tom, hopefully, you know, those local channels that we don't watch, you know, ABC and them, hopefully you'll be speaking up and getting on them to reach those people. You are the only voice, and maybe whatever situation, well, they won't have a choice.
Right, I hope to reach out to those channels as well, and try to do what I can to talk about, you know, what's going on in the county and get information out there as best I can. And I will tell you that after the election, I got many, many phone calls, and a lot of people said the same thing, Stan, that you just said, that, you know, I'm the top elected Republican now in the county, and it's basically, you know, it's your party, you know,
right.
And they're hoping for good changes and good leadership. So we'll see what we can do.
One more question before you go, because I know you got a zillion things to do. You had a interview with the Inquirer. How did that go? I don't get the Inquirer because I refuse to read it.
I get it, but that's because I have fish to wrap.
I thought that it was your run. I won't say run of the mill interviews, but it was just a lot about, you know, background and, you know, what my priorities are going to be. So I'm waiting to see. I don't think they ran the article yet. I didn't see it, but I think they're
somehow going to tie you into being an axe murderer, I'm sure, somehow.
Well, hopefully not. But I think they're going to run an article. I don't know if they're going to do the three commissioners together, like meet your new Montgomery County commissioners, or what they're planning. But it was a pretty straightforward.
Wait. I'm going to give you an example of how they're going to handle you. Pick out one thing you said that you definitely want them to produce in the article, and I'll tell you how they write it. Go ahead. Pick out one thing that you gave in the interview.
God, I don't even remember. I'll be honest. I mean, I just talked about my priorities. A lot of what I just said.
So taxes. You know, you're talking about lowering taxes. Do you want me to tell you? Okay, you want me to tell you how they're going to write it? Tom DiBella, in an effort.
Go ahead.
Okay, here it goes. Tom DiBella, when asked about his view on taxes, indicated to the reporter that he feels taxes should be lowered because Tom DiBella does not feel it's necessary to take care of the less fortunate in Montgomery County. And typical of a Republican who is a racist, he feels that taxes should be lowered for the rich. That's how they'll write it.
Yep.
Well, hopefully not. We'll see.
Actually, I just got a call from the Inquirer. They want to hire you, Andy.
I was just thinking that. They're going to offer you a job.
Really? They're offering you a job.
No, I only play a liberal reporter on Saturday Night Live, but they never let me on.
Did you get a preview of the article?
No, but I've read so many of their articles before I stopped reading their articles that this is how they treat you, that people like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Well, Tom, I want to tell you.
We'll see what happens.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's going to be a great year. Just be who you are. I mean, your personality is steadfast, very calming, well thought out. You're the type of guy that can do it. So I'm looking forward to a wonderful 2004 and a wonderful 3-4 years of your administration there.
Second that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you all and Happy New Year. And like I said, I look forward to seeing you guys on the 3rd, and I look forward to a lot of conversations in 2024.
Make sure our name is on the list. Okay?
Did you guys RSVP? You didn't RSVP?
I don't know if we – I didn't RSVP. I can't recall now.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If you can check it, I'd be great. Okay?
So it's just Stan and Liz, right?
Stan and Liz,
Andy,
right now. Andy's going to be back in the studio with Billy Mike, and they're going to be handling stuff.
With Angelina, we'll be
and
here.
Angelina Bank is going to be here, too. She's got to be involved. I'll tell you, you got to put her involved in something. She is
a brilliant
person, and she's well thought out.
Tremendous amount,
well spoken, a lot of common sense.
Like I said, we'll see. Definitely going to try to get as many as I can. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
All righty.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. TJ, time to go to the Diane commercial.
Are we facing a global financial crisis? Is it a good time to buy or sell a home? And what's happening with these interest rates? Diane Cardano-Casaccio from the Cardano Realty Team with my 2024 real estate advice and predictions. First, stop listening to the mainstream media. Then go to my YouTube channel for my latest market update. I predict home prices to go up, inventory to rise when the interest rates come down to at least 5.3%. Call me for my 2024 real estate guide. 215-576-8666. 215-576-8666.
In this case, it seems irresolvable. So you have, you know, basically every power center in the country will do anything to prevent Trump from winning. Anything. I mean, that's the most important thing to them, is to keep Trump from becoming president again. Now, why is that is a whole separate and very interesting conversation, but that's just a fact, okay? And these are the same people who are lecturing us about democracy. We're saving democracy. Democracy dies in darkness. Democracy is the most important thing. You heard that creepy defense contractor say what we're really doing is preserving democracy. We're not just, like, selling weapons. We're preserving democracy,
right?
Which was a nauseating clip, and I hope on some level he's punished for that. But anyway, but then at the same time, you have Trump, like, is leading the race in every nonpartisan, or all the liberal polls are showing him leading the race, beating Joe Biden in the battleground states. So, like, they can't let him win, but if they don't let him win, then it's just super obvious that all this democracy stuff was fraudulent, and that it's not a democracy, it's an oligarchy run by the richest people, that Bernie Sanders, back when he was a free man, was telling the truth. And so at that point, like, the veil's off. We can't pretend anymore. Like, when they killed Kennedy, which they did, they could kind of pretend like everything's fine. But after this election, there's no pretending everything's fine. Everyone will know. And it is a little bit like you get kidnapped, you get thrown in the back of the car, and all of a sudden the kidnapper turns around and lowers his mask and you see his face. And that's not a good thing. Because once you see his face, he has to kill you. Because you know who he is. He can't let you go then, okay? So you sort of want the kidnapper to keep his mask on, because the pretense allows him the freedom to let you go in the end, to pretend everything's fine. But they've showed us who they are with such unmistakable clarity that I don't know how we get along after this election, unless they decelerate and just do what they should do, which is like, look, we don't like Trump, here's why. We don't think he's good for the country. Here's why. We think Joe Biden's great. Here's why. America, make your choice. But I don't think they are going to do that. They're morally obligated to do that, but they won't. And it's incumbent on them to do that. Stop charging him with bullshit crimes that your own people skate on. Like, that's the truth. Stop that. Just let the election happen. Let's have a free and fair election for the first time in a while. Since 2016. And if they allowed that to happen, I think the country would get better. And then if Trump is a crappy president, okay, we survived it the first time. He's not very radical, actually. He's pretty moderate. We'll be fine. But I think they're too hysterical to allow that to happen. And so I'm very, very worried about it.
I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place just to keep him off the streets. You'd have to be socialist.
Welcome back to the Don't Back Down Show with Stan singing My Dog's a Democrat.
Yes. Yeah, that was it's a very catchy tune.
It sure
really,
is.
Very
you
good.
Should be on American Idol.
I missed my chance. You have to be under 30 to be there. I missed that by about 40-some years. Sorry about that.
Wait. That's age discrimination.
That's true.
And can't you say, you self-declare that you are under 30?
Well, I can go on America's Got Talent.
In fact, you can be an under 30 woman if you want, Stan. It's 2023 going into 2024.
That's right. You can be anything you want.
Exactly.
Just make it up.
Why not?
You know, forget you know, science and history and biology and everything else. Just be whoever the hell you want to be.
I'm going to be a Christmas tree.
You want to be? You can be a Christmas tree. Put the light on back on your nose.
Nah, you're not fine. You're not the brightest bulb on the tree, my friend. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Stan, we just heard from our friend Josh Prince. He responded to my request for him to be on the show the second hour. Turns out that he's in Jamaica. He's actually taking a trip with his lovely wife.
No excuse.
It's his honeymoon / 1 year anniversary, and
they never took a real honeymoon,
right?
Did
so
they?
He's doing that. I'm so happy for him.
No, it's terrific.
Long honeymoon.
But I want to give a shout out to Josh. He's been doing the Russian Roulette series, and everyone go to blog.princelaw.com. That's blog blog.princelaw.com. And read part 14 of the Russian Roulette series entitled PAGOP Doubles Down on Insatiable Desire to Lose the 2024 Elections. He breaks it down. This was supposed to be a three-part series.
Yeah, it's going to be never-ending. It needs to be.
It can't stop until we get the country back, or they keep him in Jamaica because they won't let him back in. But Josh does a terrific job, and it's just unbelievable how he exposes, diagnoses, and has already given the solution to the problem, but our own party won't take it.
I know. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know out there, and hopefully we garnish your support, that Andy, me, and Liz, we're all running for to be Trump delegates because we are never going to cave into the rhinos of our party, especially in Pennsylvania. I just want people to know.
Well, I've already withdrawn my candidacy. I'm just supporting Liz. And hopefully we'll be able to get some traction with that. It seems like the delegates are selected in the same fashion as everything else in this
right.
world. People who have the power to do that just take that power and pick who they want. But hopefully there'll be an opportunity for people who want to step up to be able to get their name out there and be able to run. So I'll be backing Liz.
Actually, I was a Trump delegate in 2020, but then they had the COVID thing and they only allowed certain people to go. I had my flight reservations. I had my room. I had everything booked, ready to go, and then we got bumped.
Now we forgot to shout out our buddies at Trump Store last week.
Oh yeah, Trump Store.
I feel terrible about that. And now that I have all these new T-shirt ideas, and I want to see some production, the Biden No More in 24, they never did come out with that, but it's time to do it because we're coming into 24 election season.
Also, it's Christmas.
I was just going to say, it's time to get your gifts.
This is the gift that people want, definitely.
It's the gift that keeps on aggravating the Democrats, and anything you buy at the Trump Store is guaranteed to piss off the leftists, so there are Ben Salem stores located at 2060 Street Road in Ben Salem, PA, and you can reach and you can also buy online. So go to TrumpStorePA.com and just
mention the Don't Back Down show.
Now I'm also and I'm calling out Lisa V because they're listening. I want to see action on my T-shirts. I want the the Fed Gestapo Bureau interrogation would work.
Yeah, it sure.
Intimidation. Gestapo Bureau of Intimidation. I want that shirt out there and the Biden No More in 24. We got to get these things going.
Yeah. And by the way, there was no comments on my ugly Christmas sweater.
I love your sweater. I came in late. I love it.
I
think it's not even ugly.
Yeah, it's not ugly. Huh? I love it.
It's not even ugly.
Yeah. How do I look in it? Does it add something?
You look sharp, very
it's
dapper.
Definitely a dad sweater. There's no doubt about that, but it's not ugly.
It's the cutest ugly sweater I've ever seen.
And I also have my Tucker Carlson, the Tucker Carlson Network Christmas ornament that he sent me.
I signed up right here during the show just because I saw that ornament. I thought, oh, man, I forgot to do that. I hope it's not too late.
Yeah.
That's TNC?
TNC, yes, please.
Tucker News Channel?
Tucker News Channel.
You have to pay, but it's only $72 a year.
And we need to support X, which is the former Twitter, because because they're coming after Elon because of his he understands that freedom means that we as a human species will continue to grow because it allows for entrepreneurship. It allows for free flow of ideas and creation. Government cannot do that. It will never do that. And all you have to do is look at history to see how it prevents the human species from becoming better.
And it's the Tucker Carlson Network, TCN, and you can go to tuckercarlson.com to sign up for this. I'm looking on the computer right now, and I'm going to sign up while we're on the air, too.
Can we do this, TJ? Are you there? Play number six, because I think it has to do with the tapes that were done in the hearing room at the Senate. I think that's the one.
Conservative outlets for reporting that a Democratic Senate staffer filmed the sex video in a Capitol Hill hearing room. Greg, this is an early present.
Thank you so
on
much.
On a Monday.
A sex tape before Christmas.
I mean, what more?
I promise not to open it. But it does look like Joe Biden's motorcade wasn't the only thing rear-ended. That joke would work if you could see the pictures. And I have seen the pictures. And I have to tell you, it definitely is a sex tape. But the so-called accused, which we cannot mention, claims that this accusation is based on homophobia. And that's predicated on the idea that people are outraged over the act, which they aren't. They're reacting to the where. Mm-hmm. You know, they always pull this trick, you know, they're banning books. No, they're moving them. It's not the book. It's the location. It's not transphobia to, say, reject gender activism in middle school or reject men playing in women's sports. It's not the what. It's the where. That's how it always is. So it's like the Dems' favorite hobby is not simply an acceptance of behavior. As a conservative and a libertarian, I don't care what you do. You can do whatever you want in the privacy of wherever. But they always go towards eliminating the barriers to location. So, you know, I have nothing against sex, drag queens, sexually explicit books. I don't care. But I'm smart enough to respect, you know, appropriate ages and locations. I like to see men in sports, but not beating up women in sports, right? I don't want a klepto in charge of our nuclear, you know, our nuclear waste. So it's not the what, it's the where. And I reject the premise that even talking or joking about this is homophobic. It's hysterical. There are so many puns that I'm refraining from because I'm saving them for tonight's show.
And by the way, I did see his show at night that he had, and it was pretty darn funny. I mean, he was definitely over the top. He saved a lot of great. He just kept on coming out with these one-liners, I got to tell you, because this thing is so funny. It defies doing anything less than laughing, because if you don't laugh at it, you definitely will be crying.
Just so you know, the third caller rejected the gift. So, William, Mike, Michael, I'm proud to tell you, you will get the sex tape from TJ on the way out.
By default. There's a couple things this week, and while we in the closing few minutes of the show, and this will be our last live show for the year, and when we come back next year, we will be more fun and have some other great guests. But there are two things that happened. One was in Arizona, and this really bothers me. It goes back to my discussion earlier about the elimination of God and morality in our schools. In Arizona right now, in one of the communities there, there's a group of young people called the Goonies. And they have basically, and these are supposedly wealthy kids, by the way. These are supposedly some kids who have some firepower behind them, because this is why they have not been arrested yet. And they would go and beat up other kids just for the sake of beating up. And this one kid who kind of stood up to him, they beat him to death.
Oh, no.
And just this young man by the name of Lord, very wonderful young man, and trying to get some kind of investigation going is unbelievable, because these people are even threatening adults. This is why whatever they're teaching in school is a complete failure, because this should not be happening. It's
worse than a failure. It's a crime.
It's like that knockout game they were doing in the big cities a few years ago. People just walk up to strangers and clock them, and they'd video it, and they put it out on their Twitter links and other things like that. It's a disgrace. There's something wrong in our society when this kind of stuff is allowed to happen, when you have $1,000 shoplifting limits. So some people don't even have $1,000 credit limits, but you can go out and steal $1,000 in a store and not get arrested in a lot of these big leftist cities. It's very unfortunate where we've headed as a country.
So in this particular thing, this young man who, by the way, was one of the most popular students in Combs High School in the nearby town. This one town's called Queen Creek, in the nearby town of Santan Valley, where he served on on the student council and played basketball, football, and golf. So he was well-liked. He was nice-looking guy, intelligent young man. And basically, when the officers came out there, they said they were responding to a high priority domestic violence report. But when they were back 49 minutes later after receiving a call about the assault just a few houses away, that's when they found Lord, and basically he was dead from being beaten up and just brutally beaten. I cannot believe that young people have no empathy at all for their fellow human being. This is such godless activity. If you find these kids, they will be the future killers of tomorrow, and they should be thrown in jail along with their parents, because supposedly the parents have done nothing on this also. And it was really quite a story. And the story was in, this was in, I don't have it here right now, what article I got.
I think you made it up.
No, I'm sitting here with
it. I wish you made it up.
I wish I did too. It is quite quite something. So that's one thing. The other thing that really bothered me this week was there was a report in the Epoch Times by Roman, and it has to do with his under Facts Matter. And despite near total media blackout, 120,000 Armenian Orthodox Christians, who, by the way, the Armenian Orthodox Church is one of the oldest Christian church groups in the world. They go back to the 2nd and 3rd century. That's how long they've been in existence. They have been blockaded by their Muslim neighbors for pretty much the entirety of the year. They've been blockaded on food, fuel, everything to need to survive.
Where is this?
This is in Armenia, Armenia.
And the government. And what's the reason?
And because they're Christians, and the Muslim neighbors don't want them there, and they're doing everything to get them out. Not to say anything about the Turks. So literally, for the last 100 and some years, the Armenian Orthodox Christians have been persecuted by the Turks. If you remember, during World War I and right before, they killed millions of these people, men, women, and children, to get them out. They saw them as terrorists, even though I don't know how a child can be a terrorist or women. The Epoch Times article and discussion goes in deep into deep detail. So pretty much that Christian community that has been part of that society for literally since in the year 200, one of the oldest Orthodox Christian groups in the world. They had many, many monasteries and churches and everything that have been destroyed by their Muslim neighbors. This is unbelievable. Now you fast forward again. Not only that, thousands and thousands of Christians in Africa are being killed every day by these Hutus, and nothing's being done. There's no conversation at all about this anywhere. Christians are being attacked in Scandinavia, in the Netherlands, in France. I mean, they haven't really said it because the French are scared to do anything, but the destruction of Notre Dame left a lot of questions to be desired. Was it an act of terrorism? So there's constant attacks. Syria, which had a large Christian population, there's basically none left. At this point, they've either been killed or sent out of the country.
Well, they're bringing it here to America. Did you hear about the new flag in Minnesota?
Oh, well, Minnesota's got a very huge Muslim.
Well, it's the home of the largest Somalian population. And, of course, Ilhan Omar is from Puntland. And Minnesota just unveiled their new flag, which is the flag from Puntland, because it's offensive, the history behind the flag that we have. So now we're changing the flag. We're not just coming into the country, but we're changing the flag. Minnesota... Of course, it's a Muslim hate. The flag represents the Muslims and in Somalia.
You know, the thing that bothers me the most about this whole thing, Liz, is that if you believe in God, why would anybody think that to kill somebody in God's name is somehow holy?
Because the Quran says it's
the lowest form of animal life is to kill somebody, another human being.
But that's our God. That's not what the Quran, the Muslims' Bible says. It says the opposite.
Well, my point being, but if you believe in a God, I don't care if it's in the Quran anywhere, there has to be a disconnect. There has to be something that says, no, that's not right.
Well, it's a little worse than that. I mean, now, there are three major religions all derived from the Abrahamic model.
Yeah, and it does matter because they do say it's okay.
That's right. They do say it's okay. But there are secular Muslims that you and I both know that are very very open to religious freedoms and people to believe other things. But if you are a true Muslim extremist or a Muslim, you believe in the Quran 100%, you're absolutely right, Liz. It's okay to do one of three things to non-believers. That is to kill them, to enslave them, or make them pay a tax.
But a non-believer in what? It's the same God.
But
that
that's my
Judaism,
point.
Christianity.
And that's my point.
It's Abrahamic.
If you believe in God in a supernatural way, then why would you believe that he would want you to kill somebody in his name? It just doesn't make sense to me. That's why there has to be a reexamination of this.
And well, religious freedom is not the freedom to do whatever you interpret your religion to say you can do, which means killing other people.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's not what religious freedom stands for in this country or anywhere else where you're able to practice whatever religion you want.
And to teach this hatred amongst people to me is so against, especially at this time of the year when we're supposed to just accept people and to be giving and to understanding. And we just, as human species, we just destroy things because of these beliefs that are so against common sense rationality. It's unbelievable to me.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Quran, you know, says to infiltrate. It says to become one of us,
right,
and then take us down. And Obama did a great job of that. And, you know, whoever's out there that calls himself Muslim, that's fine. But the Quran speaks of this hate. So I don't know why you would say you're a Muslim if you don't believe in the Quran. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible.
There was also a time in the Christian society in which we had inquisitions and things like that. And whether it was Protestants were killing Catholics. Look what happened in England. Look what happened in France with the Huguenots.
Okay. It was never okay in the Bible. Bible
doesn't. And I agree with you. It's not okay in the Bible. So all of these people that have taken religion to an extreme, whether it was the Christianity in the past and these extreme forms of religion that they had to do this, they were all wrong. They were wrong because that's not the essence of what Christ was teaching about.
Exactly.
He was teaching about do unto others as you would do unto yourself. You know, things of that nature. The Ten Commandments are Judeo-Christian background. If we believe in the Ten Commandments, it's all there. It's a very simple formula for living in life. But it is really a shame that this is happening in the world today. And the other thing that's even to me is another example of how ignorant the Biden administration and the people that surround him are of history. And this is the amazing thing. They are spending roughly 100,000+, in some cases, even more money destroying $600 drones that are being sent by these Hutus who get these things at Walmart.
Or
something.
The Houthis.
The Houthis. Instead of saying, you launch another one of these, we are going to decimate your launch areas and we're going to come in there and decimate it. And guess what? It'll be over in 2 seconds. They wouldn't be able to do it. So this administration thinks that by giving people money, like giving Iran $10 billion or $6 billion, that somehow they're going to buy their interest into Iran. Read what these Muslims say. They say death to America. They could give a damn about how much money you're giving them. They're going to use whatever they...
Stan, our politicians in D.C. are basically saying death to America.
Well, yeah. That's true, too. So the whole foreign policy that we have is so steep in stupidity, it's unbelievable.
Trump could close the border in one day.
He could close the border in one day. He could prevent Iran from attacking Israel through all its it's what do they call them? Surrogates. I mean, he took out Soleimani. That sent shudders through Iran. That's where the dark money was coming from. They knew they could corrupt the Biden family. They knew they could corrupt the Democratic Party. And think about this. Closing the borders, when you think about the cartels and the billions of dollars that they make, just think about the dark money that came there. We have to get this dark money out of this, out of our society.
Biden is the dark money.
Biden is the dark money.
No, it's the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth. So those are a couple things. And, of course, we have, let's see. Here's an interesting one. It was on Bill Lawrence Online, and we all like Billy Lawrence. And he had one, do school boards consider personal liability in transitioning push? And it's an interesting article, which he says that, you know, if you're pushing transitional as a school board, you may be personally liable for a kid who comes back and says, wait a minute, I didn't realize this was all going to happen to me. I can't change back. Personally, I think they should be made liable. The school board members should be made liable if they're saying it's okay for a young adult to transition at that age when they don't even know what they want to be. We've all been young at one time. This is crazy
stuff.
That
is a great piece. I did read it.
They should be liable. They're not doctors. They shouldn't even be saying anything.
These people need to be held accountable for their mistakes that they made. And
But it's like everything else the government does. It's us who will have to pay for their accountability because we're the taxpayers. Right. But you're right. I think that if someone sues them for what they do when they quote support these children in their transgenderism or you know whatever it is that they're supporting them in, I think the families ought to sue them now.
So Merry Christmas to everybody as we wrap up the show.
What a great way to end, huh?
Yeah, it was Merry
a good
Christmas.
Show. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's go get them in 2004. Let's let common sense range. Let's people be more understanding of each other so that we don't have these stupid rulings like the Colorado Supreme Court.
Because the High Court of Colorado.
The High Court of Colorado, which is literally high, to let you know that without democracy, without freedom of speech, without the ability for people to vote on things instead of just a few people making decisions for the masses, we do not have a country. We do not have a government, and we foster real trouble. So goodbye, everybody. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Have a great time.
Happy winter holiday
and
New Year.
Pissed off an already pissed off woman.
81 million votes, my ass.